We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we're a half hour away from our Chiefs Red half hour. Woo! We'll get into a trade that went down in the AFC West. What does this tell us about the plan going forward for everybody else in the AFC West? Who is best positioned to compete with the Chiefs? We're also about 8 minutes away from the results for our 6'10 Combine bench press. Of course, the Combine brought to you by Old Shawnee Pizza and our friends over at All In Sports. They helped us out during the Combine. And by now, you guys realize we need all the help we could get when it came to our performance in the Combine. We'll get to some of the results from last year and the current standings when everybody else comes in studio. And yes, Cody, big smile on his face right now. Yes, you're in first place.
But I'm not winning the bench press today.
None of us are winning. Well, I should say none of us.
Not none of us. Sir has a chance.
I think Sir is going to finish the best on the show today when it comes to the bench press. And I'm going to fall back to maybe fifth place today. Because that's how bad the bench press went.
But you're in second place now.
Yeah,
can you really drop?
I think
Hold
so.
Hold on. Let me see the
I think
standings.
So, because Sir is going to leapfrog me for sure today. I think Fesco is going to leapfrog me today. Kling might
you
be tied with me after today.
You have a 4-point lead on both.
Yeah, 4 points. And you think I'm picking up points today?
No, you're definitely losing points today. No one's arguing the fact that you're, but picking up is different than like, they've got to finish a certain amount better than you.
They do.
For you to drop to fifth place. Let's just enjoy our last few moments of the show being in first, second, and third.
This is true.
It's a good day, fellas.
Cody's going to win the whole thing. Tomorrow's the 40, and I know none of us finished last in the 40.
Pretty sure.
And I think there's a chance you finish in the top three in the 40, so that's how you win.
The standings, as they sit right now, as we had previously mentioned, are I am currently in first, hoping that holds even after my, let's call it a non-win today, because that's not going to go down. I'm not going to win the bench press, but that's okay. But I'm currently in first. You're currently in second. Serta's currently in third. Ryan picking up the rear. But look at this. Sean Levine tied for fourth, essentially. He's in fifth because of the age. Kling at 10 points and Ryan at six. But as it sits right now, I'm at 19 points. You're at 14. Serta's 1 point behind you at 13, so he's going to leapfrog you.
Yes.
Fesco's 3 points behind you. He's going to leapfrog you. Sean is 3 points behind you. He probably won't. I think you're going to stay ahead of him. Kling at 10 points. And then, so he'd need 4 points pick up on you. And then Ryan at six. I think you'll be somewhere between fourth and fifth.
We'll find out. The video is going to be tweeted out as well at 610 Sports KC, which today's video should be pretty good. That'll be at around 11:30.
It's not going to look good for any of us. Let's just admit that.
No.
I feel like I'm a lock for at least fourth in this thing today.
I think I'm a lock for
today? Yeah.
I'm a lock for fifth.
Not because I was overwhelmingly impressive, but because everyone else was so poor, I just don't have any idea where the morning show lined up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll welcome all in a little bit and we'll see how all these results pan out here on Cody and Gold. So Therese Paylor over at Yahoo Sports had an interview in a great piece. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, you should. With his discussion around Patrick Mahomes, he spoke with him on the phone. They talked about a wide variety of topics. But there was one thing that stood out, and we'll talk more on the contract level during the Chiefs Red half hour. But Mahomes was talking about and insisted what his goals are as a football player going forward. And he referenced something going way back to even his high school days that maybe could play a role. First of all, I think it's something that you just love to hear if you're a Chiefs fan. You're going to love this quote. because he insisted that his primary goal is and will always be winning football games, saying, quote, "In college, I didn't win a lot of football games. I never got to win a state championship or anything like that in high school. So to be on top, especially at the level of the NFL, and to be able to say I'm a champion is something I'll be able to have the rest of my life, and hopefully I'll be able to get a few of them." Winning is a primary goal for Patrick Mahomes. That is what he continues to say. Some people will take that and say, well, see, he's going to take a discount. That's not what it means. Ah. But what it means is, and what we've heard from Lee Steinberg in the past as well, and what I think I think you have to believe, is that, well, he's not going to take a discount, nor should he. None of us on this show think that should or will happen. But when it comes to structuring the contract, being able to willing to be flexible with that, and maybe even down the road with restructuring things, it sounds like he would be open to that kind of stuff, if you will, when it comes to the contract. You got to love the quote there from him. It's like, hey, I didn't get experience this winning before. This is great. I like being a champion.
I think that's the thing that stood out the most to me, because if there was any way, because none of us think he should have to take a discount. He can make that choice. He certainly doesn't have to, and I would not blame him for not.
No.
But if there's any reason to make you think that there's even the slightest possibility that could happen, the idea, like, I kind of like the idea of, like, I'm sick of losing. We didn't win nearly enough at any stage of life. Like he's like, I didn't win a state championship. I didn't win it, you know, like, I didn't win enough at Tech. And maybe this would sway it. I like the idea that moves it in a certain direction. That's the best possible sign for me, because the very least, it tells you that he's tired of that moving forward. Looks like everyone's coming in a few minutes early.
Some guys have said that in the past, and you maybe don't. Some people say, okay, well, obviously they just want to win. Like, that's what you want to hear from everybody. But it just
Ryan,
seems different.
While there's drinks. Sitting in here?
There are some seltzers.
They were open.
I don't know if we had some for us. I should have had some. Should have poured
it
in a glass.
Them, you can
Although
have
there's
them.
That whole coronavirus thing. There's
a black raspberry. If you'd like that, that might be up your alley. This hibiscus lime probably right up your alley.
Why do you say that, Ryan?
Because you're nope. And blood orange.
Oh, the blood orange is that's actually what I would like.
The blood orange one was really good.
Blood orange
good.
Is good. Yeah. I like blood orange, like the blood orange vodka and blood orange, some of the blood orange other stuff.
What?
He moves it away. I'm not taking this.
I'm not going to pour it right now, right this second.
Why not?
Why? What else are you doing?
Save it for good?
I mean, I still have this to drink. I'm going to finish
mix
the
Mix it.
You the Powerade with the seltzer? I don't know about
that. Put that in your purse and take
Who
it home
drinks
for later?
Gatorade and Powerade in the morning?
Well, thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate that.
You got it.
Yeah.
No, Gold does. We determined. We
every
had that
morning.
Conversation.
I know. That's
is
why
Gatorade
I'm asking.
A morning beverage?
It's unbelievable.
My answer was no, it is not.
Your coffee, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
Festo.
Black coffee. That's it. Yeah. Ugh.
If it's orange, it can be any time of day.
But
so
that's
do you
not
drink
like
an orange Gatorade.
It's not like getting you up and ready to go.
It's pretty much like orange juice at that point.
Yeah, it's oranges.
I think
all
you guys
day.
Are confused that I'm drinking it because I think it's healthy or something.
No,
of course not
at all. No, I drink. The only reason I drink coffee is to give me a little boom in the morning.
Like, you just
I,
got that deep down body thirst.
You guys are. It's
you still do that?
Thirst quenching. No. It's thirst quenching in the morning. You guys get up so early. I get it. You need something to get you rolling a little bit more.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But not, I mean, like, that wouldn't get me, that's just empty calories.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about that.
I know
that.
You are, I'm
very concerned. Well, after today's bench press results, I need to gain some weight,
yeah, well,
I think.
I do like your Martha's Vineyard thing over there.
This is weird. You've mentioned this more than anybody else.
I really like that brand, but I'm too cheap to buy them.
These are very nice quarter zips, whatever. You've said something at the Super Bowl as well.
I like that brand, but nice. I'm not spending $80 on a quarter zip. I don't live in your tax bracket, apparently.
That's right. That's exactly what it is.
Totally it.
Uh-huh.
We are ready for the results. We've got Carrington sequestered in the side room again. So if people are concerned,
we're gonna try that again.
He's not here. Right.
So take my headphones off.
Prepare your ears accordingly. But we are ready for the bench press combine results. C-Dot, you got us?
I have you guys. Can you guys hear me?
We got you.
All right, we finally got it working here. All right, the 6'10" combine is brought to you by Old Shawnee Pizza, and thanks to our friends at All In Sports. So today is the bench press results to give you a point of reference. Mecole Hardman had 17 in the combine. John Baldwin had 20. Should have used
John
that.
John Baldwin?
He should have used that against Thomas Jones. Chris Jones had 26. Justin Houston had 30. Dontari Poe, who was a combine warrior, 44.
Yeah.
And they were lifting more weight.
They lifted 135.
Why would you bring John Baldwin up in this one? That is so random. Like, that guy.
Like, even terrible players.
Is he even in the XFL?
You.
No, he's not in the XFL. He did have that great catch against the Broncos that didn't count.
Well, and he also had that one in the practice that nobody
awesome.
Saw.
I saw it. It was
Josh
great.
Saw it. Yeah.
It was great.
Okay, do you guys want to just go ahead and get Binkley out of the way? Because Binkley clearly won. Do you want to get Binkley out of the way?
Sure.
Binkley got 72.
Shut up.
That's what the paper
I
says.
I went with him, and that's true. I was under the impression, though, because I went with him, this was a team event, so I didn't go real hard in this one. So I thought that we were adding ourselves together.
That's pretty good. Aggregate score.
Now that I know that, it kind of changes.
72?
Okay.
Binkley got 72.
Binkley works out with like 225 like all day. Like
why don't we just show that?
He's curling 225.
Can we just show his full video when we reveal this thing and not anybody else's?
I'll do his take.
Holy
Now, Cody and I had heard that maybe there was some issue with the scoring on his bench. Speck even said that there may have been issue with
how far down he got the bar. Yeah. I do not care.
I don't care. 72, that's incredible.
We made it look like a toothpick. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was
I know mine. And this is over. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, everybody was very standing around his jaw dropped.
All of our numbers are embarrassing.
Like, whatever Binkley number, you're going to have to divide A1C. It by a much bigger
True,
number.
My A1C very good right now.
Okay. In eighth place, Alex Gold with 0.5.
Wow. I'm actually thrilled. I got 0.5. I'm thrilled with the 0.5. I thought
it
was
clearing
zero.
The bar off of the rack.
Well, because that's half a bench press.
I don't know
that's
how better I than Blutarski's GPA.
I don't know how I got a half.
A dated reference.
Since when did we start counting half skis?
I appreciate that. They're helping me out
that's
because
huge.
I lifted the bar off. I'm like, all right, I got this bar. And then as it went down about a half inch, I just started leaning to the right. That was about it.
Fell off the bench.
Pretty much. There's video. 11:30.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Alex Gold with the 0.5 in last place. With the full one bench press, Sports Machine Sean Levine.
Really? It felt like 13 or 14.
Combined,
only one?
Combined with
really?
Binkley, you have 73.
That's
have
a team. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate that, guys. Yeah.
Okay, in sixth place is Josh Klingler with a three-piece.
Nice.
That boy, Kling.
Oh, I got three. All right, I thought right. I had two,
By
and
the way,
two and a half.
Kling, last year you had eight.
What happened, Kling?
There was the Smith
old.
Machine last year.
Yo, Kling clearly was cheating last year.
No, Joe Mays helped us out a lot last year.
Joe Mays gave me. Kling is worse in every category this season than he was last season. Every single, like.
Well,
I don't
like
want to say that you were juicing
now,
last
I was
year.
Juicing last year. That's what it was. I was juicing. Joe Mays gave me five reps for sure last year.
See that? He's closer to 50 now than he was a year ago.
Joe Mays helped a lot.
And you're right. That Smith machine, now that everybody says it, I guess it really was there. That's a difference maker.
Yeah, it definitely was.
That's a game changer.
You're not going to lean to the right or left.
No, I had that lean experience that you did, Gold. Right when it came off the bar, it went
not wanting
to let fast to the right.
14 if just it had been the Smith
machine. No, I think I would have done five on the Smith machine.
But not letting down Joe Mays was key, too.
That's a lie.
I know.
It's like two. I'll give you two. Carrington did two last year. I'll give you two if it was the Smith machine.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. In fifth place, doubling up Josh Klingler, Ryan Wachowski with six.
I beat you, Ryan? I told you. It was not a strong show. I'm not here to make excuses.
I think Cody's juicing this year. So.
Ryan, I mean this.
Clearly. Well, I don't know if anybody saw the vertical yesterday. Major issues with the scoring in that.
Well, we can't argue my bench press scoring because I can't cheat for that.
Well,
Ryan, I just really want to know what athletic feat do you think that you're good at? You can't run. You can't jump. You're not strong. You're not fast. Which one of
why,
these?
Why are you trying to embarrass me in front of my friends?
What do you want
to
have a high-eating contest,
here?
Ryan?
This is not a good morale carrier for the team.
Okay, I'm
drinking contest. You're going to lose to Binkley in that too, though.
Yo, Binkley will roll everybody in that.
I just didn't know if you wanted to have like a blueberry pie eating contest or something, Ryan, and you'd probably come in seventh place in that. All right, in fourth place, right out of the medal round, Steven Serta with seven.
I beat Serta? That can't be right.
Steven Serta and Bob Fesco.
I feel
Fesco
like I'm getting jobbed here.
Is actually tied with seven as well. So Fesco and Serta both tied for the bronze medal with seven. And you know what that means. The gold medal winner.
Are you kidding me?
With Look the eight this. Piece. With really? The eight piece nugget. Cody Tapp.
All I had to do was one more and I would have beat his ass.
With eight. So the full standings. Alex Gold with a 0.5. Sean Levine with
Oon.
Josh Klingler with the three-piece. Ryan Wachowski with six. Fesco and Serta tied at seven. And Cody Tapp with the eight-piece.
Wow. Carrington, Binkley by
Carrington, 69. Let me ask you this, Carrington, because I trust your opinion on this. If you could custom order any size McNugget, what would the perfect number be?
Ten.
Ten, really? Okay.
You definitely thought it was going to be 7, didn't you?
No, I thought it'd be higher than 10. I think 10's low. I think the 20 piece is a perfect size McNugget.
I just want to know how they can give you the 20 piece for $5. Like, that can't be real chicken.
Well, they're getting you on the back end with, like, the grilled chicken sandwich for $7.99.
I mean, it is that top quality chicken, too.
It is. It's all white meat, which is, once they change it, they haven't been as good.
All any white size meat feels like dollar, a very though. Ambiguous term.
This all white
I get 3 days in a row, first place for you.
Surely you've clinched it by now, right?
Yeah, this is over. It's on the lock. It's, I can't lose.
Yeah, it's over. Congratulations.
I think.
The 610 Drive Combine is presented by Old Shawnee Pizza, and special thanks to our friends at All In Sports. Wachowski, you have by far and away been the biggest disappointment. You have been the
why?
Jacksonville Jaguars of this whole thing.
I don't have to take this
the
crap.
Biggest disappointment I'm not here is to Alex. Take
this crap.
You have been.
Yeah, Alex was the second.
Alex
favorite.
Is like the most out of shape thin person in America.
And young.
Thin, is young, and youngest, out of shape.
I told
thinnest
you guys.
Person on the show.
I told you I was over. But being thin doesn't mean a damn thing, clearly.
You probably have a high A1C as well, don't you?
Is that cholesterol?
I don't know.
I don't know what the hell that is.
I'm clearly waiting for pro day, so I'm going to wait for my pro day to.
You're going to throw on Tuesday at KU.
Yeah, by myself.
That is the 610 drive or the 610 combine.
Tomorrow is the 40-yard dash.
Oh, I won that.
Wachowski,
I think you did
7.8. Like
you do feel pretty
earthquake.
Confident you won it.
Bob had some great like.
I did
hit a great head lean. So I think his nose got over the tape.
The video tomorrow is going to be something. That's all I got to say. The video at 610 Sports KC on Twitter. 11:30 today, by the way, will be the video for the bench press. I had no clue you were going to win today, though.
I told you I did somewhere between 6 and 8. That's what I told you.
Yeah, I said you did 6. I thought Sura got to 8.
I couldn't remember because I didn't.
I said I did right, 7. I knew I did 7.
I don't know where you're at on this. I'm convinced Cody was just playing us all this whole time. I have a feeling you've been training for this. Last year, you were at this station. You weren't allowed to do the combine. I have a feeling there's been some training going on after yesterday's vertical. The bench press, you're right. You can't cheat. The vertical yesterday.
Can't cheat on my Wonderlic.
The vertical, you can cheat because
can't
we
cheat on my broad jump.
We did the testing for the vertical where you have to get the reach so they know your height. Everybody was told, hold your arms straight up. And you keep saying they told you not to overreach. You're correct. Overreaching does not mean holding your hands straight up. You bent your elbows, so you were 3 inches shorter. And what do you know? You got 22 and a half on the vertical. Serta should have won the damn thing yesterday.
So, to be clear, you're going to accuse me of cheating despite the fact I was second in the broad jump.
I'm talking
first
about
the
vertical
league.
Only.
First in the bench.
Yeah, we're talking vertical only, Cody.
We're just going to complain about my vertical score, even though I've been first in every other category.
Yeah, I mean, the vertical. But the vertical and the bench press should have catapulted me.
Because I can't believe I beat you in the bench press.
In the
stunning.
Well,
stunning.
If we did it today, I could totally do 9. I know I could.
Wait, what?
I've been working out my arms. I could totally do 9.
The last 5
If we did it today, I could totally hit 9. I feel confident about that.
I legitimately have not been to a gym to work out.
Mm-hmm.
In more
you're just naturally
than,
athletically gifted.
In more than 2 years. No, I would like to. No, because really, I am like clearing the low bar. It's like.
You just got that dad strength. Because you have little kids.
Little
like,
kids.
Kling and Bob, their kids,
aren't, their, kids
their kids aren't quite as old as or significantly older than yours. So, yeah, you got to carry your kids around. You just got that dad strength.
I right joked now. About that. Maybe that actually does help me. I like throw my kids around, physically pick them up, hang them by their legs, swing them around. Is all this
their legs.
This entire time this was helping me?
Potentially.
Lifting my
sounds
children
like
was
it.
Helping me. God, what a feeling.
Yeah, so you've definitely clinched. So first place is going to be Cody, no matter what happens on the 40-yard dash tomorrow. And I know you didn't finish last in that anyway. So you're going to be first.
I feel
question
like I'm like third in that.
Second and third place tomorrow. We'll get the actual point standings out on the Twitter account at 11:30. We'll see. I believe Fesco and Serta are going to be battling for second place.
You really took a dip. I can't believe they gave you a 0.5 at least.
Well, you know why why they did that? Because Levine, my understanding, got the same as me initially, and so that was a way to probably separate the standing. There's no way I got a half. I lifted the bar up off the rack, and I'm like, okay.
I can't wait to watch the video.
I got this. Yeah, you're going to see. And I'm like, I got this. I was like, I can do one or two of these. And as it got
how
not even a
quarter. How long did you hold it there? That's a mistake.
I did hold there for a little while.
Yeah, you got to just start going,
I was
right?
stunned. I couldn't even get it off the rack, Cody. I was like, wow. All right. I was able to get this 135 straight up in the air. And then went down like a quarter of an inch. And it just started leaning to the right. And then they're like, all right, you're done. And that's why I got over to the area so quickly. You're like, wow, that was quick, Gold.
Yeah, I did not feel good about your odds.
People wanted to know about the weight. 135 was the free weight. No Smith machine. Last year.
It was 330.
Yeah.
Got eight of them up at 3:30. Nah, it was 1:35. Will someone sponsor this show? Like, if you work at a gym, if you run a gym, if you work at the J, if you run your own personal fitness, will you please sponsor this show and get me, Serta, in golden shape? Because the one thing I do know from this is because I do feel good that I'm not, that I'm winning categories. But even still, when I watch the videos, the embarrassment level I have for my current fitness level is very high. Like, Serta's been working out. I was looking at gym memberships yesterday.
I went running again yesterday.
Yeah, you were clearly
It was worse than Monday. It turns out running one time does not make you better at it the second time, but I'm going to try to keep doing it.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 69306, people wondering where are CDOT's results. He did it last year. He was out of town this year, but if you're wondering, they gave him two, some people said zero, for the bench press last year, and he had the Smith machine to work out.
He did at least halfway lift it, so he probably beat you, but it was not perfect. And you're right, the Smith machine, based on this entire year's results, had a huge impact because Ryan went from 15 last year to 6.
Yeah.
Kling went from 8 to 3. Though Serta, from 5 to 7.
Stronger. Yeah, I just did more.
Bink was 72.
On the Smith machine, you might have done 12.
It was also on a Sunday morning last year, so I was 100% hungover.
72 for Bink. That's I don't even absurd. Wanna,
whenever that video comes out, that number's just going to be ridiculous. Although Bink's not in the official standings, so if I tell people, did I finish first or second?
Second in the bench press.
Damn.
Second in the bench press, but you're going to finish first overall, so you're good.
Yeah, I know.
But second in the bench press.
It does you didn't sound better when you say I finished first in the bench press. But because Binkley's not really a part of... By the way, how many people would Binkley be ahead of? He competed in exactly two categories. He was second to last in the Wonderlic, so he'd have 2 points. He was first in the bench press, so let's say that's 8. That would give him 10 total points.
He'd be ahead
points.
Of Ryan, I think. Or tied with Ryan.
He'd at least be ahead of Ryan. Might be ahead of... Yeah, that might be it. Maybe just Ryan. Because everyone else was kind of in the mix.
I knew the bench press was going to be terrible for me. So I'm like, half a point. I'm actually stunned I even got the half a point. Levine getting 1. What happened? I would have thought Levine would have got 5 or 6. Apparently, he's got a bad shoulder. That's what Bink... If you watch the behind-the-scenes video that we tweeted out yesterday, too... They were talking about the shoulder.
I just want to be clear that I still have a follow-up appointment for my elbow bursitis.
Oh,
so playing hurt.
Oh, okay.
Playing it really is not right. I didn't feel during the bench press, so that's being exaggerated.
So that's why you cheated during the vertical?
Because you couldn't bend your elbow all the way straight because you told, it's so clear. It's so clear the elbow was bent on the
You're
vertical.
You're making it look like I was doing this.
Yes.
I was in these still shots. I was clearly higher off the ground.
I will concede.
Serta should have won the vertical. I'm not saying I would have won.
I will concede you jumped higher than me. But I also do not think I cheated. I think you guys are bad at following directions, and I will not apologize
for
that.
You said they told you not to overreach. Overreaching is not just holding your hand straight up. You're acting like I was, in pain.
You do look like that.
No, I'm tall. I just held my hand straight up in the air. You were, bending
your
elbow.
So, you know what we need to do to determine between the two of us? An easy way to determine this is we should measure our arms. We should, in the break, go measure our arms.
Uh-huh.
And then, depending on the difference between them, my outstretched level would determine your victory.
You got a tape measure just laying around?
There's got to be a tape measure in this building.
It's a
big building. Or a ruler, but we just got to keep flipping it around. That doesn't feel like an accurate measurement, but still. It's got to count for something.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. A suggestion for a contract in the NFL with another quarterback that could have an impact on Mahomes. We'll also get into a big trade. Maybe a big trade that went down going forward in the AFC West. How does it change the plan to compete with the Chiefs?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
All right, let's get right into the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Jason Lockenfora, I know people love him in Kansas City.
Just ignore the name for a minute and enjoy the conversation.
But what he brought up was very interesting. It was actually an idea that he had heard from an agent in the league suggesting how to come up with the deal for Dak Prescott. And as we know, if you're Mahomes, if you're the Chiefs as well, potentially, although the Chiefs would prefer to get it done before then, but if you're Mahomes, you're not doing a deal until Dak and or Deshaun Watson get their deal done. You want to find out what that number is looking like. So that's why it's interesting if you do take a look at a proposed Dak Prescott deal. This is from Lockenfora. How they potentially could structure it in a way to not only give Dak his money, but also to still allow some flexibility, in this case for the Cowboys. And so could you set something up similarly to this for Mahomes and therefore for the Chiefs going forward with Mahomes' new contract? So under this, it's essentially the first 5 years of the deal for Dak Prescott. Overall, the cap hit is $355 million for the entire contract. I apologize, for the entire contract, 2020 to 2029. $355 million cap hit.
It's a lot.
$125 million cap bonus. $125 million bonus is paid. Salary, $230 million for the entire contract. So if you spread it out across the board, $165 million essentially guaranteed on the deal. $125 million signing bonus would go $50 million installment, $50 million installment, think about that. $25 million installment over the first 3 years of the deal. And then with the CBA, you can prorate that under the salary cap for the first five seasons of the contract. So take home cash in years 4 and 5, when you're talking about this kind of money, are actually cheap, but it guarantees Dak Prescott, he's walking away with a minimum of $165 million in cash.
And here's the...
You'd be walking away from that. If you're Dak, that deal right there, if you turn that down, you would be saying no thanks to $165 million in cash. So it's the argument is, not only is it helping the contract for the team, but Dak is still getting taken care of in this scenario, $165 million no matter what.
And here's how the deal works. This is why it would work for Dak, and we'll talk about it in a minute, because there are reports from Adam Schefter that they're going to franchise tag Dak while they work out this deal. Here's how it works for the team. Cap it over that time, $29 million in year one. That is a significant reduction from what a starting quarterback in the NFL makes usually at this level. 31, 33, 35, 37, and maxes out in year 9 at $40 million. That's what we're talking about Patrick Mahomes being at per year. The reason why this deal is interesting, and the reason why a player might take it, you say, well, why would a player take it, right? Why would you get locked up at quarterback in a 9-year deal? Because it's not a 9-year deal. It's giving them an out essentially after 2024. Because that's when they stop owing you money, right? The bonuses are paid out, they're prorated out over the course of that time, and in 2025, they're not on the hook for paying you as much anymore. But you are guaranteed $125 million in cash in the first 3 years. And if you know anything about money in general, having that money earlier rather than spread it over time is a significant benefit, because it turns out if you have $125 million in cash, I wouldn't say easy, it's not that hard to turn $125 million in cash in 3 years into a whole lot more money. Like, so much more money. Like, not Bloomberg money, but like a lot of money. Like a weird amount, right? So it factors in that decision-making into it. So the side of this that is Mahomes, and I credit Arrowhead Pride for writing the article, for essentially structuring it out the same way based on that idea. John Dixon over there structuring what a Mahomes deal would look like. He'd get $120 million in the first 3 years in bonus money, too. Here's the problem. That's a little less than Dak. So the guarantees are less long. But the reason why he structured it that way is so Mahomes can still kind of get out of it, or the team can kind of still get out of it. Like, you'd have to give him an option probably somewhere down the line. But his deal structured this way, if you kept Mahomes till 2029, would guarantee him $212 million guaranteed.
First 6 years.
On a $400 million deal total. But the cap hit would not hit the Chiefs until 2022 at $42 million, which would be below average pay for a starting quarterback at that time, and would cap out at $50 million in 2029 with a cap hit of just $30 million in year one. Now, $30 million is a lot for year one of a deal. You could structure it different to get hit less than that, because you're paying out such a huge bonus structure. But I can't see why Mahomes would take it, because quarterback is the one position where you almost can be guaranteed $212 million. Because here's the fact of it, is that I think if Patrick Mahomes signs a 5-year deal, I think he can get $170 to $180 million guaranteed in that contract anyway of a $200 million deal, $150, $160, $170. And I'm not sure that the guaranteed number above it makes sense, Gold. It's just like, I love the idea, because it makes him, he still gets to be rich. He still gets $40 million a year. Everything is all the same. But the problem being, it doesn't structure it guaranteed-wise in a way that he might not get more over that time. Now, he's so great, he's probably just going to get that money, whether it's guaranteed or not. But there's a lot to factor in there if you're a quarterback signing that contract.
And I get under this plan, this idea, essentially, that it's just only guaranteed for the first 6 years. But in that first 6 years, it's going to be $212 million, which is just an unbelievable amount of money that people can't fathom.
Again, you can turn that money into a lot of money.
Sure. And it's in, again, I get it. It's before taxes. It's before your agent cut. It's not really $212 million. I understand that. But
he might get that for a five-year deal anyway.
And that's the thing. I don't know why, even if it's not truly a 10-year deal, why would you, and this plan would essentially be for 10 years with the option to restructure potentially even earlier. Earlier than that, I just don't see anybody. I don't see Dak doing it either. I know this is from Mahomes, it makes even less sense. I don't know if I'm Dak, even though it's hard to walk away in Dak's scenario from $162 million if you're Dak Prescott, $165 million if you're Dak Prescott. But I just don't know why either of them would do something that would go from 2020 to 2029 potentially. Dak, there's more incentive to do that. There's way less if you're Patrick Mahomes because you figure you're going to get another huge, huge contract in 5 or 6 years if you sign a five-year deal. I understand the thought process behind it.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes, right? So he might not like this deal either.
You have to have that mindset. If you're a competitor, you have that mindset that you're going to continue to be better. And people, as he's seen all the conversations be right now, where people don't think the Cowboys should be paying him 34 to 35 north of that million dollars per year. Like that's the thought process thing. There's a lot of people that look at it and say, yeah, the amount of money that Dak is asking for is far too high based off of the performance, based on what people believe he is as a quarterback. What's interesting to me is in years 4 and 5 in both of these, the cash paid is actually only $12 million and $14 million on the Mahomes contract. The actual, because the way it's structured. Like if you're Mahomes, it's $212 million guaranteed. I don't know if it'll really matter to you, but 2023-2024, considering what you're getting overall, those are light years. In terms of cash
again,
that's coming in,
players would rather,
you get it earlier, but
players would rather have the money early because you're right. Like the cash paid, you're like, man, I'm only paying him $12 million cash in 2023. Yeah, you're paying $50 million in cash in 2022 because of the cap structure. So it doesn't matter, man. You'd rather have $50 million in 2022 than 62 divided by 2, $31 million in 2022 and $31 million in 2023.
Now there's that wonderlick math again.
The more time you have in place to, you know, like, you just put it in like a simple interest-bearing savings account. It, like, and obviously you can't, it's not FDIC insured over a certain dollar amount, but you get the point. Even if you just put it in like the most simple, like a CD for 10 years, like it doesn't matter whatever financial plan you have to have the $50 million up front, the interest you would garner in a single year. Cash up front matters to players. And both of these structures is cash up front. I still don't think Mahomes would take it. Because what's his signing bonus going to be if he gets a $5 million or $200 million deal anyway? $40 million? I mean, he's going to get this money anyway, whether he signs for 9 years or 5.
I don't think it's not nearly the same problem for Clark Hunt as the discussion were for Mark Davis. Remember when the Khalil Mack, there were rumblings when they traded Khalil Mack or when they were talking about that the reason why they couldn't give Khalil Mack the extension is that Raiders owner Mark Davis did not have the money because you had to put the money in escrow. Like you have to actually have the cash on hand.
Yeah.
In order to do that, I don't think that's an issue for Clark Hunt if you compare to where some of the owners are in the National Football League. But it's just something to keep in mind with the Dak Prescott one. It's not an issue with Jerry Jones either, obviously. But just that has come up with other, it's, you know, in other markets that is,
you
that
actually
has come
have
up
to have $50 million in cash to give him.
Well, you have to have the not just that, but you have to, my understanding, it has to be, so if you sign someone to a $400 million contract, I believe you have to put a good chunk of that in escrow.
Yes.
Like right away.
Yes.
The cash portion of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's amazing.
That's
amazing.
And you're right. And that's another issue with the contract, because then at that point, you're not just relying on one person's pocket. You're relying on a lot of pockets to put up a lot of upfront money, because it's wild. It just doesn't, like, for me, it's just not practical. I love the idea. It's thinking outside the box in a contract structure that could be beneficial to a team. But the Patriots, as much as you hate hearing that team, they've been able to creatively negotiate and renegotiate and rework Tom Brady's contract while never going out 9, you know, 10 years and $400 million. So There's a way to do it that isn't this way. I like thinking outside the box, but I just don't think it makes sense at all for the Chiefs.
Nate Burleson on NFL Network said, should the Chiefs present Mahomes with a plan, whether it's this or otherwise, to take less?
Yeah, they should present a plan. They should write it up, hand it off to him. Pat Mahomes should look at it, rip it up, and respectfully toss it on the ground. There goes my notes for the whole segment. But listen, his first year as a starter, which is essentially his rookie year, I know his second season, he throws for 50 touchdowns. He almost beats Tom Brady. It was a coin flip that lost him that game. And this past season, he wins a Super Bowl. So 2 years in the league, he's proved to be the best quarterback, one of the best starts we've ever seen. So if you're telling me that you want to save money, for what reason? This league is built on the best players getting the most money. Why not allow me to break the bank because I proved to be that guy that's worth it? Give me $40 million a year. Don't try to shortchange me. You know what? If there's pressure on anybody saving money and working with less, it should be the organization. It's been like that since the beginning of time. You guys work with the crumbs that are left over and try to surround me with the best talent. That's what your job is.
Yeah, that sounds so selfish, but he's right.
No, he's 100% correct, because it's I'm going to take care of myself. I've earned whatever this dollar amount specifically is going to be. It's not my problem to make the roster work around it. Now, we had that quote earlier where Mahomes, it sure sounds like, and like a lot of players, but that winning games, winning championships, quarterback specifically, your legacy is tied to how many rings you have. And that's what you're chasing potentially. Yes, that all factors in. But deep down, it's Brett Veach and Clark Hunt's job to figure out a way to make the money work.
69306, the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line. I know we've had a lot of conversation about the contract, but what's your feeling right now? I want to know your numbers. What do you think the contract's going to come in right now? The Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 69306. I still tend to lean kind of where everyone else. I mean, Just tell me it's $40 million a year. It's 5 years for $205 million with $165 guaranteed, and I'll feel like that's about right. Like, I haven't moved off that number because I haven't seen enough people move off that number.
And we haven't seen what Dak's getting. I mean, that is a huge part of this. We also need to see what Dak's getting and potentially what Deshaun Watson's getting. It'll give you a little bit of an idea of where, like, if Dak does get $39 million and Deshaun's getting 40 or 40 and a half, that tells you, okay, that changes some things if you're Mahomes, big time.
Well, and Lee Steinberg and his team have to figure out if the numbers that FanSided reported last week about what the jump might be in the salary cap is right. Because if they're right, if Matt Verderam and the team over at FanSided is right, and the cap might go from $203 million, say, this year, to $240 million the following year, you know what that means the Chiefs should do? Front load this thing. Because you can afford the same level of talent you had before now for the next two seasons and still give your chance, one of the top chances to win the Super Bowl. And then in the following years, that's where the Dak deal comes in favor too, where these contracts start to kind of make sense. You can't Jimmy Garoppolo it if you're a team because they had so much cap space. The Chiefs aren't going to have that kind of cap space. The Cowboys don't have that kind of cap space. So they can't just give so much money on the front year of the deal. They were really smart. If you're any team that has a quarterback that you like, and you've got the kind of cap space the Dolphins have, the Broncos have, and you're thinking you're going to sign someone to an extension, do it now and give them a lot of money up front. Because the fact that they gave Jimmy Garoppolo a $37 million cap hit in year one is the reason why he's a $27 million cap hit in 2022. He's a $26 million cap hit now. If the contracts really are going to jump that significantly, then you should probably consider giving him more money up front.
And the front loading comes into play when we talk about Chris Jones as well. And if it's true that the salary cap's going to go up to $240 million, you mentioned you just front load the Mahomes deal as well. And that's why I think it's so challenging, even if the cap goes up, when you're talking about if you're going to front load Mahomes and people want to sign Chris Jones long term and they want to front load that deal. I think it's very
difficult.
There's
only so many you can front load.
Exactly. And so that's the challenge that you have. And that's
why we
have this
discussion. The bigger the money, the better for me.
And that's why you have the discussion. And yeah, I mean, if the salary cap goes to 240 in 2021, that would be very, very beneficial considering the scenario that the Chiefs currently find themselves in.
And the Chiefs have been backload contracts. Fine. For the most part, that works. Front load the guys you know are going to be here a while.
We're in our Chiefs red half hour, and elsewhere in the AFC West, a little trade went down yesterday involving the Chargers and the Carolina Panthers. So the Chargers reportedly going to trade, once the league year starts later this month, Russell Okung, their left tackle, to the Panthers for another lineman in Trey Turner. So a swap of offensive linemen. The trade as a whole.
Weird.
The trade as a whole is a little weird, but it makes you wonder, okay, What's the plan going forward for the Chargers? Right now, Tyrod Taylor is the only quarterback, I believe, even on the roster for the LA Chargers. Phillip Rivers is moved on. We all know that. So what they do at the quarterback spot is going to significantly dictate, to me, what their plan should be. We all think Melvin Gordon will not be there. Austin Eckler maybe will be there, maybe will not. I think he's going to still be with the Chargers next year.
I think so, too.
But, you know, they have some other questions on the wide receiver position as well going forward. Also, what are they going to do with Hunter Henry at the tight end spot? But they've got, I think, depending on what they decide to do at the quarterback spot, their plan in the short term is not terrible if they go and get someone that is a short-term fix at the quarterback spot to where they can, I think, still be competitive in the AFC next season based on what they have at the coaching level and with the roster. But you go through the AFC, who has the best plan to ultimately compete with the Chiefs, right? Win the AFC West. None of us feel like the Chiefs won't be favored for the next year or two, at least in the AFC West, given the situation they currently reside. But the best plan, I think short-term still could end up being the Chargers. I think short-term it could still be the LA Chargers. If they keep Eckler, Anthony Lynn is still there, whether they get Brady, whether they go out, I still think they
Because you think they're going to get a quarterback. That's why you like
I do. Player. I don't think they're going to. They should draft one, certainly, for a long-term fix, but I don't think Tyrod Taylor is their starting quarterback in 2020. I don't buy into that. And so if they go out and get a veteran quarterback, a little bit of upgrade over Phillip Rivers as well, I think in the short term, they're still better positioned than the Raiders or the Broncos to have a shot at even touching the Chiefs.
We'll see. You know, I think their plan's the worst
the
because
Chargers
they don't
the
have
worst.
A quarterback. They could have been spending years trying to figure out a position at quarterback. They've let their roster get older. They've let their roster not have a quarterback. I mean, you know, what's the point at this stage that you can even have the conversation? It just doesn't make sense to me. The best plan is the Broncos. Now they're banking on the fact that Drew Locke actually turns into a capable NFL quarterback, but they're shopping heavily for running backs, which I think Serta pointed out he wouldn't normally be a big buyer there, but if they have him, Cortland Sutton, draft a wide receiver, I think they're projected to get Ruggs right now. That offensive line, they took Fant last year. There's a ton of talent on that roster. All they have to do is draft right for defense, and their plan actually makes sense to keep up with the Chiefs offensively, which is the thing they actually have to do, keep up with the Chiefs offensively. And no other team is in better position to do that right now because, to me, the Raiders are still stalled out, and I don't think that their offensive roster is as good as the Broncos could be if they solve running back and wide receiver problems.
Let's not forget the Raiders have two first-round picks this year. Now, whether that involves them trading for another quarterback, whether that involves, I mean, they nailed their draft last year. Raiders had a very good draft. No matter what you want to say about Gruden and all that, they nailed their draft in year one with Mayock as the general manager. It was a very successful draft. If they can replicate that again, I'm not so sure to poo-poo what they have as far as young talent going forward. The issue is, yes, the quarterback spot. And then when I bring up the Chargers, I'm talking more short-term than long-term. You're talking 5 years from now? Yeah, 5 years from now, I think you would have to say, of course, the Broncos appear to be better positioned than anybody else other than the Chiefs in the division. But you kind of poo-pooed the one big problem there for the Broncos. You are banking on Drew Locke being the guy. I don't know if he's the guy or not. He may be. But we only saw, what was it, 4 games from him last season. We'll know by the end of the season if he is the guy or not. And it appears he's going to have a very good situation for him to have success. They are putting him in a great spot. It's what you want to do.
Loading him.
That's
with
a
talent.
Great plan to provide the best possible scenario for a young quarterback. And it appears that that is exactly what they're doing. So, absolutely. I just need to see way more for Drew Locke because the plan sounds good and all with all this. But as we all know, if Drew Locke turns out to be a bust and isn't the future starting quarterback there, to me, they're blowing up their coach. They're blowing up their GM as well. John Elway, I don't think, would be the GM if that happens. Vic Fangio would not be the head coach if they have another 4 or 5 win season potentially. So that you can't tell me is a good plan when you're going to never all of a sudden maybe have another general manager, another head coach in a year from now if Drew Locke doesn't pan out. And I think that's where they're headed.
Yeah, but you're banking on a team that doesn't even have a quarterback. Like, so
the roster is you're acting as if they're going to roll in there with Tyrod Taylor this year.
Well,
man, I just don't know who they're rolling with yet.
Yeah,
but
and
you
that's,
know it's not going to be Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, but that's a concern, and I mean they still have question marks. Like their defense is aging itself out outside of Joey Bosa, really. Like they and Derwin James, like those are two young players, but a lot of their talent on defense is veteran guys who are past their prime now. And
they let that roster get old while not solving their quarterback problem, and now they're in trouble.
Yes, their offensive line's also terrible. I don't care about the trade that they just made. It was bad last year, and that doesn't drastically improve it. The Raiders, I still don't have a ton of faith in them. I know they had a great draft, but they still have just way too many overall holes on that roster. Like, the Broncos roster is actually pretty good. Like, they're going to get Bradley Chubb back, one of the young, great pass rushers in the NFL. Von Miller's still good. I mean, maybe not the great, dominant player that he once was, but he's still very, very good. Kareem Jackson's a really good safety. Justin Simmons is one of the is a good safety who I believe they're going to franchise tag him. They're going to get Bryce Callahan back, who was one of their big-time free agents on defense last year. And they've still got a ton of money, and they're not paying any of these key offensive weapons. You go out, you add a Ruggs, a Lamb, or a Judy in the draft if one of those guys is available. I mean, they're setting that offense up to where it should be easy for Drew Lock to be productive. He's not going to be Mahomes, but he might not need to be with offensive weapons like that. Like, if he's a 4,000-yard passer and throws 28 touchdowns next season, I think you're thrilled about that.
They appear to be better positioned 3+ years from now than the LA Chargers. I just don't think next year they are better positioned to compete, if that's what you're getting at. I just don't. Like, I don't disagree with a lot of what you had to say.
I think they finish with a better record than them next year. Like, I think the Broncos finish with a better record than the Chargers.
The Chargers quarterback's not going to be Tyrod Taylor in 2020.
Yeah, but what's the best? What's the dream scenario for the Chargers?
For next season?
Yes.
At the quarterback spot? A dream scenario would probably be Tom Brady. My dream scenario, though, is Cam Newton. They still find a way to trade for Newton. I don't buy that the Panthers are still holding on to him.
Because I think it's going to end up being like Andy Dalton. I'll take the other end of that.
Like, I understand young players are exciting and potentially where they could project to be. And you're right. You have plenty of upside there. We don't know what some of those guys are for the Denver Broncos, and it appears to be good, but you guys are also, let's not act like these guys are sure things that you're, and there's about 4 or 5 guys you mentioned that may be great players. They could all still be busts though.
I know.
Like, one of them's
Cortland
a rookie
Sutton
that hasn't,
a great
one
player.
Of them is a rookie. They haven't even drafted yet that you're projecting they're going to draft, and you're counting on him. And you're right. It sounds good on paper. Pair him up with Cortland Sutton. One of them's also a quarterback that started 4 games. Well, you guys are also citing a running back they don't even have on the roster yet of 4 guys. Like, yeah, it appears they may be heading that direction. You're telling me that
I'm
Chargers
just saying,
don't
plan
have a quarterback.
Wise, I like their plan. The Chargers don't seem like they have a plan to me. Like, what is their plan? We'll find a free agent quarterback and make our aging roster work. That's not a great plan.
Not saying 5 years from now, I'd rather be the Chargers than the Broncos. I'm talking about the next year or two. I don't believe the Broncos are going to have way more success than the Chargers in the next 2 years. No,
I just like, you know, if they're going to try to compete in the AFC West, they're doing what I think teams in the AFC West should do: load up on offensive talent, hope you get the quarterback right. I know if you get the quarterback wrong, but that could be said about anything. If the Chargers get the quarterback wrong, they're screwed. If Derek Carr remains to be mad, they're screwed. If, you know, like, obviously everybody's in trouble against a team. I just think the Broncos have the best plan currently to go up against the Chiefs.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold in the noon hour, we get to what's trending, and Kansas clinches at least a share of the Big 12.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.